gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, check it out. You can email us all there, executive producer, Chris LaVoie, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. All right. We have a big Friday show coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Sexy liberal Aisha Tyler joins us in just a few minutes to remind us why the president smells like cookies and freedom. All right. Which is...
Or as that one girl called him, Bronco Obama.
Bronco Obama.
I feel her pain. I feel the same way.
Yeah,
when
I do
will
too.
This be over?
I think we should adopt that name. Rick cowboy hat.
Bronco Obama.
Bronco Obama. Bronco Obama. Will this election never end? Okay. Also, we have, actress Kate Walsh coming up from Grey's Anatomy.
Private practice.
Once again, we have the hottest surrogates on our side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So, and as Jackie reported at the top of the hour, employment, I don't have the numbers in front of me.
171,000.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's why I'm here.
Oh, Rain Girl.
Just to throw numbers.
Oh, Rain Girl.
Definitely 100,000.
Throw some toothpicks. I'll count them.
Oh, Lord. All right.
I'm an excellent driver.
Excellent. The Obama campaign reminds us, did you see this online? Stop looking at cats online and go vote. Okay. That's us. They're talking to us.
Yep.
Oh, kitty, don't eat the whole watermelon. No. Oh, it's time to vote.
Have you seen the watermelon kitty?
No. Oh, not the rind.
Kitty, don't eat the rind.
Oh, no.
Is it the cat with the watermelon on
his No,
cat?
It's just
oh,
eating a watermelon.
Okay.
Send me the link. I'll tweet it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe the cat needed some fiber.
Yes, a lot of cats look like Hitler. Go vote, for God's sakes. All right. Some helpful hints.
Oh, okay.
Jim has sent along Mitt's helpful storm tips for y'all who are still suffering.
Oh, there's a Twitter feed of Mitt's storm tips that's very funny.
Yes. If your home is in the path of Sandy, evacuate your second or third home immediately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Number two, if your home sustains damage from Sandy, ask your parents for money to fix it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Make sure you've moved your cars to the top floor of your garage.
Right.
Sandy is so violent because she was raised by a single mother. Don't worry about evacuating. If it's a legitimate storm, your house has a way of shutting itself down to protect itself from damage. My prayers go out to 53% of you. 53% of you will be fine. The other 47%, I could care less about. If you survive, I'll take credit for it. Number eight, if you must drive in the storm, use extra strength rope to secure your dog to the roof of your car.
Oh.
Number nine, everyone chill out. Sandy will end earlier than expected. She has dinner to get on the table.
Oh, you see.
She got out of her binder for a minute, but see, she's... Okay. I actually have more really good storm tips, but I'm not going to tell you until after the election. And number 11, to everyone in the path of the storm, don't be a victim. Stop looking for handouts. Nature's. By the way, I was reading the LA Times story about the storm damage,
yeah.
And I thought that was a joke. Rush Limbaugh says Chris Christie is fat.
It's funny how they turn on one of their own when one of their own actually starts cooperating.
Mm. And Lloyd Blankfein is bald.
Wow. Okay.
Never mind.
All right. Thank you. Here's exactly, would you like fun, well, they're not really so fun facts.
Well.
If you're back east, but this is why we were saying, this is the point of FEMA. When it operates properly, when something of this magnitude happens, this is exactly why, Mitt, if you're paying attention, you can't privatize FEMA. You can't send stuff back to the states. Stephen Colbert had a great thing about who better to take care of it than the states whose infrastructure has just drifted out to sea.
Yeah.
Yes, it should be a state responsibility. This from the LA Times. The Pentagon said more than 10,000 National Guard troops in 13 states have been mobilized. The deployment included 10 Black Hawk helicopters, 100 pumps sent to New York to siphon water from tunnels, 120 medical personnel, 573 vehicles, 40 Humvees were on their way.
Sounds like big government to me.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, because the state of New Jersey just had those lying around.
Sure.
Thank you. And it's even better if you could take it back from the states, privatize it.
Because
who couldn't mobilize that?
Yeah, how much did it cost to run a Black Hawk helicopter for an
What private
hour?
Company has a Black Hawk helicopter?
After they figure out what their profit margin is for people, you know, in need in the middle of a disaster and an emergency.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to make any money off this. Screw you.
There are some entities that are big enough to handle problems like this. Pretty much the only one is the federal government. A private company can't handle a crisis as
big as this. You can't handle the crisis.
Exactly. But wait, there's more.
Oh, okay.
500 U.S. Department of Health and Human Services workers arrived to provide emergency medical care and public health assistance. Nearly 2,000 utility workers on their way from to Long Island from states as far-flung as California and Texas. Military trucks lumbered into one town after another, ferrying food, water, and generators, going door-to-door in Hoboken to rescue stranded residents.
Mm-hmm.
Obama offered additional military assistance, including a Navy ship.
New Jersey had one of those.
We don't have enough of those.
Private companies have those. And transport planes, and said he had a, check this out, a 15-minute rule, meaning that every call placed to the White House by a mayor or a fire chief would be returned within 15 minutes.
Wow.
Compare that to the story yesterday about when Romney was governor of Massachusetts, and when they had, obviously something not even nearly, he was not even around.
Right. I think it was a blizzard in western Massachusetts.
Yeah, he was out of state. Yeah. Nobody could reach him. Nobody could get a call back. Oy. If they need something, we figure out a way to say yes, said the president. About 5.9 million homes and businesses were without power Wednesday, down from about 8.5 million at the height of the crisis. Again, you can't respond that quickly. Okay. I couldn't reach Roland this morning. Did I hear that power might be back on by today or tomorrow?
Today or tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, in New York.
Well, in Manhattan. They're having a lot of problems with Staten Island. Yeah. And Staten Island got overlooked in the immediate aftermath, but Staten Island has just kind of been wiped out.
The president said, "We are here for you. We will not forget." That's exactly what George Bush said.
Yeah.
Well, he was in the plane flying over Katrina.
Hey,
yeah. But he said it to himself.
There's a lot of water down there.
Stuff there. The partnership between Obama and Christie, as the president put it, has prompted. Here's the part. Tea leaf reading and from the chattering classes, and no small amount of grumbling on the right. Some commentators labeled the governor Judas Christie.
Bah.
And Rush Limbaugh called Christie, wait for it, fat and a fool.
He also accused him of being addicted to OxyContin.
Yes. There's that as well.
Oh, he had some other comments that are coming up in Right Wing World about Chris Christie.
Really?
Yeah.
Won't that be fun? Okay. Wowee. Nate Silver, here's his latest snarky...
The guy who seems too gay to be doing...
His numbers are too gay.
No, he's a geek. That's the difference.
Yes. He just tweeted, 7 polls released in Ohio in the past 48 hours. Obama plus 2, Obama plus 3, Obama plus 3, Obama plus 3, Obama plus 5, Obama plus 5, Obama plus 5. Hashtag not that complicated.
Yeah.
He writes, now watch in frustration tomorrow's media only report on a single Romney-leading poll, probably from Rasmussen.
Yeah.
he also tweeted yesterday, apparently the pollsters are all effeminate liberals, too. 538, please stop letting facts get in the way of the GOP's narrative. Romney is surging in Ohio.
You know, for a numbers guy, he has an awesome sense of humor.
I know. We just had him.
I know, and he was great.
Yeah, some of the I love this story. After brutal polling day, Romney team reassures that they'll win. Mitt Romney's top staff offered reporters an endless number of reasons why they're going to beat President Obama. Not included on their list of Romney advantages, a clear lead in the polls, because that's... would be like Nate Silver, French and gay.
Yeah, right. Effeminate.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He's not French. But short, apparently.
Romney pollster. Oh, he has his own pollster. So
he said, well.
Obama has a political environment problem. He's got an intensity problem, he's got an image problem, and he's got a ballot problem, and they'll all add up to a challenging Tuesday next week.
What is he talking about exactly?
I don't know.
Obama has an image problem?
No. Apparently.
Well, said the Romney camp?
Right. Right.
Well, with that little girl who calls him Bronco.
Bronco.
Wednesday, a particularly rough day for Romney on the polling front, featuring new surveys of which Obama held a solid lead in Ohio, surged to an 8-point lead in Wisconsin, and even 5 nationally in one case. But Romney aides insisted things were on the right track.
Of course she didn't. Of course we are. Of course we're on the right track.
A senior advisor said, "We feel we're in a very good place in this race. And this race is exactly where we'd hoped it'd be a week out."
All right.
Mm.
And their political director said, "Right now their firewall is burning."
Does he know what a firewall is?
Not really.
What?
No.
What is he talking about?
Walls
don't burn.
They prevent burning from getting through.
Their analogy's a little confused.
Okay.
Oh. But they're hip with the kids, right?
I assumed it was a wall of fire.
Oh, my God.
While the race remains extremely close, there's been little movement since his initial first debate surge. Time running out fast. Polling analysts like Nate Silver, Sean.
The effeminate Nate Silver.
Well, and then they mentioned several other pollsters suggest Romney may need state polls to be systematically wrong across the board for him to prevail at this point.
I believe Limbaugh accused Nate Silver of being fat.
All right. I imagine, but Mitt Romney is he still collecting unneeded canned goods at this point for the people that the Red Cross insisted, please, not specifically we don't need that, please don't send that.
Right.
Yes.
There's good things in the garden. All kinds of canned goods. Canned goods that sort of get in the way. Like the giant's opportunistic corn, greedy green beans, and cynical carrots. All vacuum-packed and on your grocer's shelf or nearest photo opportunity. Try the giant's unnecessary canned goods today.
In the valley of the phony, giant douchebag.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. 17 minutes after the hour. Back with sexy liberal Aisha Tyler next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Highbrow, lowbrow, unibrow. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 21 minutes after the hour, here she is, sexy liberal Aisha Tyler, to remind us why the president smells like...
cookies and freedom.
Cookies and freedom, ladies and gentlemen.
Sexy lady.
Good morning, sexy lady.
Cookies and freedom, my friend.
I have already said how one thing Aisha Tyler says at every sexy liberal show ends up on T-shirts everywhere. And that was because you have, in fact, met the president in person, and he smells like...
yes, up close, cookies and freedom. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, like kind of freshly baked cookies out of the oven, and then just that beautiful, that strong, smart whiff of freedom and democracy that we all,
do you know, honey,
we
honey,
all
honey,
love. I wish you could bottle that smell and spray it on everyone in this country.
You know.
And into the face of a couple of people, actually.
Yes, you know how many emails I've gotten since our show Saturday at the Beacon with the subject line, cookies and freedom, bitches.
That was such a fun show. That was an amazing night.
Oh, honey, you just rocked it. So
we all did. It was so great.
You're an official Obama surrogate. We have the hottest surrogates, just
I
saying.
Am.
And you are on the
ground.
You're in Ohio?
I'm headed to Ohio.
Okay.
I'm up early getting it together to head to Ohio now. And, yes, getting it together. I'm scratching it together to head to Ohio, but because this is the last, this is the final push, obviously.
Yep.
And so we're just cranking for the president and you know, making sure everybody is, you know, I've been speaking a lot over the last, you know, I guess maybe 8 weeks in different locations to people that, you know, it's not enough that we're doing well in some of the polls. We actually have to make sure people go to the polls.
Right.
And so, you know, it's really about getting out the vote now and making sure that all the people that have said they were going to vote for the president actually do vote for the president and take everyone they know and push their head towards the right ballot to the hole and then make them push it.
Yes.
No. it is important that we make sure that people are getting out there. And, you know, obviously with everything that's happened, especially on the East Coast, and we barely, I don't know if you guys, obviously probably been talking about this all week, we barely made it out of New York.
I know.
Yeah,
exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, we did.
Escape from New York.
it was literally an escape from New York.
Yeah, Snake Plissken was right behind you.
Well, in fact, Hal Sparks did not make it out because he was staying for some other stuff, so he'll be on the show Monday.
Yeah.
He just got back.
Oh,
I know.
Wow, yeah. I mean, people are still trapped there, and I was I was complaining and whining to you guys. So I was like, I have to be up in 3 hours. My car is coming 6 a.m. And actually came at 4. I went to bed at 1:30 and the car came at 4.
Oh,
God. Sick.
Oh.
Yeah, so I didn't sleep. I just kind of blinked.
Right, but as you explained to me, the reason you take such an early flight out after Sexy Liberal is because you and your husband have a new agreement, and that is?
Oh, yes, which is that we spend every Sunday together.
That's right.
Regardless of my work commitments, and that I behave like a wife for once in my life.
Aww.
Darn it.
Aww.
How's that going? How's that going so far?
It's been good. You know, I'm an actor, so I can act like a wife. No, but, you know, it's I've been traveling every weekend almost exclusively, you know, doing surrogate work, and it's been so galvanizing and so exciting, and to see how much enthusiasm there is for the president out there. I think we can get so caught up in the polls and checking 538 blogs every 30 seconds.
Oh, and his big gay numbers. Nate Silver and his big gay numbers over there at 538, as the right wing says.
Ah, the big gay numbers. They're very fancy numbers. They sparkle with glitter. And so then when you get in the field and you see the enthusiasm for the president and the passion for the president, and you talk about your own passion for the president, I mean, there's a real groundswell out there. I think it's as focused and as passionate as it was in 2008. You know, obviously, it's been the president has had the biggest pile of crap to shovel with a teaspoon, and he's done an incredible job. And so I'm trying to get out there and communicate that to everybody, that the president is going to be having at it for the next 4 years with as many teaspoons as he could possibly hold in both hands.
That's right. Grab a teaspoon and help.
Yep.
You know,
exactly.
And I thought, isn't it interesting? I was just watching him yesterday, I mean, with Chris Christie, and I thought, you know, and when he said,
it literally
was back to there's no blue states and red states. That's what he said yesterday, and he's right.
Yep.
There are no Republicans and Democrats
right.
in a storm. And, you know, go ahead.
The thing is, he's always been right about that. You know what I mean? That's always been, to me, such a basic principle of his presidency is that he wants to just do the job of being president and implementing the plans that he had for the country when he was elected. That amazing night, the way that we felt about where we were going, and that politics has constantly got in the way with this kind of obfuscatory blocking, you know, strategy that the other side has taken, which is we don't care about moving the country forward. We just care about being right. And we don't want to do what's right as long as we are right. And when you have a president that over the last 4 years has presented back to the other side their own policies repeatedly, like, hey, let's collaborate on this. This was your idea. I don't care who takes credit for it. Let's get this done. And they're like, yeah, we liked it before, but now that you have it, we don't like it anymore. Yeah. I mean, it's been so immature, so destructive. So, you know, it's sad that it had to take something like this storm for people to be reminded of what kind of a president Barack Obama is.
Yeah.
But I think yesterday when you had Chris Christie stepping forward and saying he's been incredible through all of this.
Yeah, Bloomberg's endorsement. I mean, it's been, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, and by the way.
Yeah, I mean.
By the way, hold your calls. The word of the day is obfuscatory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I do like to drop an SAT word every time I come on your show.
All right.
That is my plan.
All
right.
Okay, Dartmouth. Let's all right, Ivy League. Let's move on.
Obstructionist. How about obstructionist? That's not as difficult.
Okay. I think, you know, it's interesting. You can't help. Obviously, things are political because we're a few days out from an election, but I think you're absolutely right. You know, people, you look at those polls, I think are the most important. Like 80% of the American people agree with Chris Christie, think the president has done an outstanding job. Bob McDonnell, I mean, it's not like it again, isn't it weird that we're back in this kind of bipartisanship that President Obama first spoke about?
Of course we're not. Of course we're not.
But I do also think that you know, it's at moments like this when you really see the mettle of a president. And I think when you compare this president to the last president who had to deal with a major storm and its after effects, you really see what kind of a president Barack Obama is. When you have a guy who was confused and delayed and blind and late to respond, and even in his most intense response mode, you know, Bush was just lackadaisical and unengaged. And then you have this president who just dropped everything and is so focused on making sure that people get the help they need. This is who is in the White House, and I think our vision of who he really is can get clouded by politics and by the kind of the everyday workmanlike aspects of you know, running the country. But this is who is in the White House, someone who cares about the American people, who cares about making sure that their lives are better, and who is absolutely 100% focused on doing the best possible job that he can for Americans.
To Bush's credit, he did roll up his sleeves.
He did fly over to a flyover.
Yeah. Sexy liberal Aisha Tyler, you rock on my world and the free world.
You do.
And
in an obfuscatory way.
It's a joy to know you. It's a joy to come on your word and use big on your show and use big words.
Absolutely. I love you. We gotta go. Thank you, baby.
Guys.
All right.
Bye, Aisha. Aw.
Yay, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Last time she was here, she drank too much cherry wine and had a threesome with my parents.
Is that bad? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Sexy liberal Aisha Tyler, how awesome was that hearing from her on the road for the president on her way to Ohio? She's one of the people getting it done, ladies and gentlemen. Today, brought to you by Grainger with over 900,000 products for the ones who get it done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I recognize that voice. That's when I'm on the plane with her coming back from a sexy liberal. She's like, I'm tired. Don't talk to me now. Don't talk to me. I've had an hour of sleep.
I don't know how she does it.
I know.
But she gets it done.
She does get it done. Thank you for that. All right.
And then plays housewife on
speaking
Sundays.
Of sexy liberals, Roland, I was officially worried about him. Didn't hear from him yesterday in New York. Didn't hear from him this morning. He says cell service has actually gotten worse. I'm not getting power until Sunday morning. Most of New York City is getting it tomorrow. But my lobby was flooded and the circuit breakers were flooded because of this marathon. I'm being kicked out of the hotel today, so I'm going back to the dead zone. Me and Butters, his dog, are going to put on our Mad Max costume and search for rats to eat. Okay. Everybody, Roland, well.
I guess he's out of duck fat.
He's not a good emergency person. He panicked and went to a gourmet food store before the storm. I'm like, duck fat? You don't even cook. What do you need that for?
Batteries, flashlights, blankets. No, duck fat and caviar.
You don't eat duck fat. You cook with it.
He doesn't cook. He lives in Manhattan. For God's sakes. All right.
Bless his heart.
Oh, bless his heart.
So why is this marathon still going on?
I don't know.
That seems like it's diverting a lot of police resources and stuff like that to something that really doesn't.
I know. To prove because the terrorists win if they don't.
Well,
if you don't
the storm
run
wins.
Yeah. You know, if you don't run entirely too far, then the terrorists.
Can you postpone it for a week?
I know. There's another magical degree, Roland degree of sexy liberal Roland. He ran the marathon 2 years ago and he broke his foot in the middle of it and he finished.
Wow.
He told his friend to go get him a sports bottle full of Sauvignon Blanc. He finished it.
On a broken foot.
On a broken foot.
Our runner over here, Jackie Schechner.
Yes. And then I think he ended up breaking
I'm determined, but that's a lot of adrenaline. That's like lift a car, remove a baby from under it.
And it's a lot
adrenaline.
Of Sauvignon Blanc.
And then he ended up breaking it in like eight places or something. And I'm like, oh, well, aren't you plucky? And by the way, in addition? Okay.
Wait a minute.
Stopped.
You broke your foot and you were out of commission for about 6 months.
Yes. Yes. Well, I don't know. It was 6 months. It was
a long time. It seemed like a long time.
I know that drinking wine is good while you're running a marathon because it tends to dehydrate you.
Yeah, but it just numbs the pain.
Well,
right.
That.
Right.
You don't realize how dehydrated and in pain
marathoners get entirely too plucky about finishing. It's not that important. If you shatter something in your body, it's
but it is if you've been training for that long.
Right.
I mean, it is. You get into this mode where it becomes a big part of your life and it's something that you're training for
right.
a long period of time.
Well, Roland is like Samuel Jackson in Unbreakable anyway. He's very, very, he's like a sparrow. He's... He is. He's broken bones before. He's very fragile. He shouldn't leave his house.
And yet you keep taking
opinion.
Him on these extreme bike trips.
Yeah. across the Alps of Italy.
I'm trying to toughen him up.
Or destroy him.
I'm trying to make a man out of him.
Maybe he needs more calcium. Which is
maybe.
Less stamina and more calcium.
Wait a minute. He's like a sparrow. He breaks bones all the time, yet he's going into Mad Max mode?
He's trying to butch it up. Bill in Los Angeles. Hi, Bill.
Hey, good morning, you guys.
Welcome.
Good morning, you guys.
The first
thing I wanted to talk about is that you looked great in that brown skirt in the pre-debate show.
Oh, thank you. We'll be doing an election special on Tuesday.
Never lose the brown skirt.
Here's
what I wanted to talk about.
Or the green petunia.
I think this is very puzzling that Planned Parenthood and NARAL and VoteVets.org are staying neutral in the Wayne Powell race.
Huh?
Does that make any sense to you guys?
No, makes no sense.
It doesn't.
How could Planned Parenthood and NARAL and VoteVets.org not be with Wayne?
You know what? We'll get you an answer because we can shoot Julia an email. Okay.
Yeah.
I have no clue, and I don't know if that's true, but let's find out.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to Jim in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Jim. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Mama?
Good, baby. Go ahead.
You became my mama. I voted yesterday. It was the last day for early voting in Nashville.
Hooray.
Kind of all right. I'm a Republican. I went there as a Republican. I signed in as a Republican. When I got to the voting booth, I turned into a Republican.
Yay. You voted for Obama?
Yeah, I did. I voted a straight Democratic ticket.
Well, good for you. Why is that, Jim?
I want to thank you. I want to thank you and all your callers and all your people that say the truth on the show and made me kind of think. You know? I'm old. I'm retired. I've been a Republican. And when I got there, I started seeing names I heard on your show that people I disagree with. I couldn't do it.
Wow,
couldn't do
Jim.
It, thanks to you. Aww. And can I say one thing?
Yes.
Hi, Jackie.
Aw, hi.
I think it's because of Jackie. That's.
He's trying to impress Jackie by being putting.
Yeah, all right, together. Jim.
I'll tell you what. She's got the power.
You old dog, Jim.
I have the harness right, for good and not evil.
Jackie has saved you for the Republic.
Yay!
Yay!
Listen, as many men out there watching, listening, if you want to impress Jackie, there is no
vote
better
Democrat.
Way. Right. Makes her hot.
I don't date Republicans. So
there you go.
Obamacare makes her hot, too.
It gets me heated. That's
by the
different.
Way, okay. you were talking about, we've been mentioning this. It's amazing how these right-wingers, Mitt Romney is doing this talking point about mm-hmm. you won't be able to get a doctor, you know, because they won't take anybody that has Medicare now, right?
Yeah, no. So NPR did a little blip on this today, which I thought was very good. They are talking about how this rumor's going around, and Romney's talking
yeah.
about how you can't get a doctor because of
excuse me,
healthcare
human
reform.
Beings turn into like Republican talking points at election season.
Yeah,
I, you know, letters I've got. My mom can't get a doctor because of Mitt Romney or because
that's
of Obama.
That's complete and total bull.
Well, it has nothing to do with health care reform. What it has to do with is what's called the Doc Fix that goes back
right.
to 1997. And basically, in terms of trying to control Medicare costs,
yeah.
a long time ago, the idea was to bring down payments to doctors overall if they got out of control.
Right.
It's a fix that Congress hasn't been able to remedy because it would be too expensive to do all at once.
Right.
So they've been doing this piecemeal, and it comes up year after year after year. It's these stopgap measures. It's making doctors very upset. It's frustrating for Congress. It's been a problem for a long time. It did not get fixed through health care reform because it was too expensive.
Right.
So it's a totally separate problem that has nothing to do with health care reform.
Right.
And, in fact, there are parts of health care reform that actually pay Medicare doctors more because what they're trying to do is incentivize primary care physicians. So
right.
there's actually provisions within the health care law that will pay primary care physicians more money because we want more people to go into primary care.
Right.
So anything that you're hearing
it's
has nothing to do with that.
That's what I'm saying. It's like people that want to blame Obama for everything. It becomes a punchline, but it's like,
yeah.
oh, because of Obama, my mother can't get a doctor.
And if
like,
you tell
what?
Them it's untrue, they just say no, 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 and go on. Like,
right.
you can present
right.
them with facts,
right.
and they just change the subject.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Here was the story. Mitt Romney took his claim that President Obama has stolen $716 billion from Medicare to the next level yesterday. Asserted seniors most likely will not be able to see specialists if the president is reelected. Wow. I mean, he is getting unbelievably desperate. Between this and the ad in Florida, you know, comparing him to Castro and Chavez and, like, you know, and then this lying ad in Ohio about
yep.
the auto, about Chrysler. I mean, it's just...
Did you see the one, too? I think it was in Virginia where he said there was a barbecue place that went out of business. He blames
oh,
it on Obama,
right.
and it turns out the place had a lot of health code
yeah.
violations.
Yeah.
Oh.
It had been deteriorating for a long time. They hadn't updated in years.
They were washing their hands in poop. And
in other words,
raw
because of Obama.
Yeah. yeah. Oh, and he's also attacking gas prices with videos that are airing at gas stations.
Oh.
Like when you go to fill up on gas,
right.
there's
yes.
these videos in those kiosks.
Sure.
So it's really throw anything at the wall and see what
mm-hmm.
sticks at this point.
That's max of desperation.
Yeah. It does smell of desperation.
The,
yeah.
On the doctor front, so okay, as
yes.
we know, Mitt Romney's staff has said they're not going to let their campaign be dictated by fact checkers.
yeah, that says it all.
So Romney just used the line again in Virginia yesterday. He said, I happen to believe the choice you make on November 6th will have enormous consequences for a senior who's perhaps needing the care of a specialist. If he or she makes a call to the doctor if Obamacare is installed and the president's reelected, that why then making that call, you're most likely going to have the receptionist come back and say, sorry, we're not taking any more Medicare patients because the president is cutting Medicare to pay for Obamacare.
How can they just keep lying like that and not get called on it?
A Washington Post fact-checked examined Romney's claim last month and found that spending does not decrease in Medicare year after year. The reduction is from anticipated levels of spending in future years. The savings mostly are wrung from health care providers, not Medicare beneficiaries,
mm-hmm.
who, as a result of the health care law, ended up with new benefits for preventative care and prescription drugs, according to the Washington Post.
In other words,
Post
death panels.
Fact.
No!
okay. All right. Yikes. It's
well,
like,
it's the big lie theory.
And no, it's like he's using that debate technique that he used in the first debate, just like
the
Gish
Gallop.
Yes. It's like the tennis ball machine of lies at the end. It's like, let's put as many ads
yes.
as we can.
Turned up to 11.
Yes.
Shoot, 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 Lillian shoot, shoot.
Lillian or Dorothy Gish? Neither of those.
It's the Lillian Gish Gallop.
Yeah, that's it.
Right before she took off the rat mask.
Yeah. So she was known for her barrage of lies.
In the Scooby-Doo movie. Okay. Alan in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Alan.
Good morning.
Hi, go ahead.
Hey, I was just wondering, since Romney has taken every side of every position, he'd be able to keep, if he's elected, he'd be able to keep all his promises, but at the same time not being able to keep his promises. Does that make him an oxymoron or an oxywoman?
Oh, my God. Very good. Very good.
Oxymoron. It's an idiot with acne.
Catherine in Pennsylvania. Hi, Catherine. Welcome.
Yes, hello. I'm a first-time caller, and I just wanted to make a comment that no Republican talks about privatizing FEMA now. They go hat in hand for these funds because there is devastation. I just wanted to say that my governor, Governor Corbett, promised not to have cars, and both him and his wife have SUVs while he expects people at $8.50 an hour to get to work on their own and pull themselves on their bootstraps. My mentally handicapped sister from birth has been waiting for a program over 5 years, and he's taken funds from that, so she can't even get into a program which would structure her. There's actually homeless mentally handicapped people,
right,
and he's not catering to their needs, yeah, but taking funds away, and it's sad.
Yep, absolutely. No, absolutely. By the way, did you hear that, you know, Mitt Romney's out there talking about bipartisanship, which obviously his case is not very good at this point. The president is like a walking, talking example. He,
yeah,
and Chris Christie, and whether it's Bloomberg.
Mm-hmm.
So Romney only called the Republican governors of the states affected. He didn't call any of the Democratic governors of the states.
And that tells you how he would govern if he were elected.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Can you absolutely positively guarantee that it will give me an orgasm?
Yeah.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. The Stephanie Miller Show is brought to you in part by The Last Open Road. Where is The Last Open Road? What is The Last Open Road? Have you traveled The Last Open Road? Go to lastopenroad.com.
50 minutes after the hour, it is the
Stephanie Miller
Show.
Thank you for the spontaneous
applause. Yes, thank you. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Yeah, I love this headline. Did Chris Christie destroy Mitt Romney's new message of bipartisanship?
Yeah,
a little bit.
That's it.
Yes, that's what actual bipartisanship looks like. And as you know, there's a reason that we keep saying he's behind 20 or 30 points in Massachusetts, because it's a myth that he governed in this bipartisan way. There was something like 800 vetoes were, I mean, you know. Anyway, I love this one, The Tale of Two Tarmacs.
Yeah.
Have you seen this? There was, of course, the moment with the look. You can tell how authentic it was between Chris Christie and the president. And then there was, of course, you know, Jan Brewer. Bonefinger.
Bonefinger. Have a guy must think that they.
Liz in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay, when I heard this story yesterday, I knew I had to call you.
Yes.
Bob King, president of the UAW, was on last night.
Yep.
And their legal department found that Mitt Romney violated government ethics law.
I did this story yesterday.
Yeah.
Yep,
oh,
absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, they're seeking an investigation, but he did not disclose that he had a conflict of interest.
Yep.
And they bought stock in Delphi at 67 cents a share. And isn't that something? Ann Romney invested $1 million in this.
Yep.
They got a 4,000% return, and they held GM hostage for the parts.
I mean,
and they extorted GM for money for the parts.
Yeah.
And
Liz, I mean, it's you absolutely realize why he can't release his tax returns. You know,
that's
it's
exactly
this.
Right, because that would be on the 2009 tax return.
Right.
And the reasoning that Bob King investigated in this is because of the ads that that Mitt is running.
Yeah.
He says that they're hurting the brand image of these companies.
Yep.
And they usually automakers and whatever, they refrain from anything political.
That's right.
But because of this going on, they threw their hat in the ring. So all he is doing is hurting himself.
Yeah, well, I mean, and the other thing is, you know, this charity loophole. That, I mean, I'm not sure which is the bigger story, Liz. Have you heard that one?
I haven't.
That he, you know, that's the other reason, again, that you can't, he obviously can't release the tax returns. This loophole that he's using as a, you know, remember he said, oh, well, you know, with what we gave the charity, according to that's a huge, you know, loophole that's allowing them to, anyway, I'll find the details. I'm just... talking in circles now. Like
2009 was also the year that there was amnesty for people with Swiss bank accounts.
That's
the reason that he doesn't want. Right.
How funny
year.
Is it that George W. Bush is speaking in the Cayman Islands this weekend? He's going to visit Mitt's money, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas what do you call it? Bill Clinton can be on the campaign trail for President Obama because he. The president said, I know what change looks like because I fought for you, have too. After all we've been through together, we sure as heck can't give up now. He talked about, he said he appealed for more time to overcome the protectors of the status quo. He said, every time we've tried to make change, they fought back with everything they've got. Their strategy from the start was to engineer pure gridlock in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Governor Romney has been using all his talents as a salesman to dress up these very same policies. You know what? I was thinking people call him like he's a slick used car salesman. He's a used idea salesman.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's a used idea salesman. That last night when I was drunk, and I thought it was brilliant.
You don't need to look at the odometer. Of course you don't.
He said he's offering them up as change. We know what change looks like, and what the governor is offering sure isn't change. We know the ideas that work. We also know the ideas that don't work because of the 8 years after Bill Clinton left office, his policies were reversed. And then he said what I was saying. Magically, we brought it full circle. Excuse me. There's no Democrats or Republicans during a storm. There are just fellow Americans, which harkens back to his, you know, there's no blue states or red states, right?
When disaster strikes, we see America at its best. There are no Democrats or Republicans during a storm. They're just fellow Americans.
Sorry, Carol in Pennsylvania. Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
What I wanted to do, two things quickly. I wanted to compliment you and your team. And Travis, who answers the phone.
Yeah, he's also on the team.
For being one of the best surrogates out there for the president.
Oh.
And also, my second point is this. Wouldn't it have been a different 4 years had we had cooperation with the Congress?
Yeah, absolutely.
The Republicans.
Well, Carol, I've been saying this over and over again, is I hope what I'm feeling is going to be true. Not just will the president be reelected, but we're going to get him more of a Congress he can work with.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these Tea Party candidates are in trouble. Yeah, I can't wait to see them go. This Joe Walsh and Steve King and Michelle Bachmann.
Oh,
yeah.
God, I hope so.
Marcus will be livid.
What's that, Carol?
I said we all can't wait to see them go. And
couldn't happen to a nicer jerk in Joe Walsh's case.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's the worst.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Carol. Go ahead. What are you saying?
No, I just said I just regret the last 4 years, what they've done to the country.
Yeah.
And people need to wake up.
Yep. All right. Wake up. Wake up.
Wake up, people.
Wake up, people. Samuel Jackson says, wake the up. All right. The president on the campaign trail.
Our fight goes on because we know this nation cannot succeed without a growing, thriving middle class.
Uh-huh.
Fox will quote that. We know this nation cannot succeed.
Well, see? Right there, he's been plotting since kindergarten to downsize America, just like Dinesh D'Souza says. Huh? Okay.
Now, in the closing weeks of this campaign, Governor Romney has been using all his talents as a salesman to dress up these very same policies that failed our country so badly. The very same policies we've been cleaning up after for the past 4 years. And he... is offering them up as change.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We will get to Bloomberg. That's huge. His endorsement of the president.
Right.
We'll get
huge.
To that in just a second. Michael in New York. Hey, Michael.
Hey there, sexy liberal mama.
Hello, Michael. How you doing, honey? You got power?
Yeah, I got power. Never lost it, but I can't say the same for the other sections of the Bronx or other places in New York City.
Yeah.
My heart and prayers out to them as well.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is with... one of you guys, I think it was John, and great meeting you guys, the sexy liberal.
Oh, thank you, baby.
Right. Why the marathon is still going on?
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Because Because Bloomberg is an absolute idiot and insane in the membrane. This is one unwise decision on top of a wise decision
right.
in his endorsing President Obama. And let me mention something about the difference between Obama and Romney. As you know, Obama has been responding to all those affected by Hurricane Sandy, whether Democrat or Republican.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Make sure to know that Chris Christie is a Republican who's been singing praise, nothing but praises for President Obama.
That's right. All right, starting out of time. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller Show was brought to you in part by our friend Bert Levy, author of The Last Open Road and other novels. Who asks, have you traveled the last open road? Go to lastopenroad.com.
Yay! All right, Jackie at the top of the hour was doing this JFK ad, you know, talking about asking everyone to vote back in 1962.
It was a midterm election in 62,
yeah.
and it was when Ted Kennedy won the seat that JFK had to abandon when he took over the presidency.
Wow.
Yeah, so he had a personal connection to that election as well.
Here's what they're doing on the... This is how they're using history on the right. A late super PAC ad buy urges African Americans in Ohio to vote Republican because Lincoln freed the slaves. In the final days of the campaign in Ohio, all the stops have been pulled out in a scramble to eke out a win. That means one super PAC calling on African Americans to vote against President Obama because Lincoln freed the slaves. It's a super PAC called Empower Citizens Network. One of the group's ads accuses Obama and the Democrats of imploding the economy by forcing mortgage companies to lend to unqualified buyers.
Oh, come on.
It's super shady, though. Like, there's no indication of really who's behind it or where the money's coming from.
No. While the Soviet national anthem plays in the background.
Really?
Another promises welfare recipients that Republicans can save your money source by reducing regulations on business.
Oh, come on.
Okay. And meanwhile, Mitt Romney's official campaign, there's really not much difference in desperation these days. Mitt Romney's Florida ad ties Obama to Chavez and Castro.
Yeah, I saw that.
Speaking of using history.
Because they're so alike.
Yeah. Mitt Romney's campaign is running a Spanish language ad in Florida that claims Hugo Chavez and Fidel Castro's niece would support President Obama. The spot shows a clip of Chavez saying, if he were American, I'd vote for Obama. Obama's campaign said the ad provides the Venezuelan leader with more attention than he deserves. Mitt Romney continues to play Hugo Chavez's game, giving Chavez the attention he thrives on that he doesn't deserve. Keeping America safe and advancing U.S. interests require the kind of leadership President Obama has provided, not Romney's bluster. There's a similar clip featuring Castro's niece, Mariela, who has no official link to the Cuban government. She's a noted advocate of gay rights and has praised Obama's stand in support of same-sex marriage.
Uh-huh. He's just like Castro.
Woo! Smells like desperation.
Wow. Did you have to stretch your groin before that?
Adios, mio.
Wow.
Donde los yikes. Okay.
I don't think donde los yikes is an actual phrase in Spanish.
And it's ay.
It came from you.
I know it came from me, because we said that. God, we said that in high school.
Oh, speaking of you,
donde están los yikes.
An official Stephanie Miller surrogate. And this weekend, you will be representing me.
I will be representing you at the Palm Springs Pride Festival.
Oh, wow.
Saturday, between noon and 1.
Yes.
Going to be at the booth of our fine affiliate, KPTR.
Yeah.
And, going to be meeting people. So if you're at the Palm Springs Pride Festival, come out and see me.
Get it. Here we go. All right.
Yep. Tomorrow,
what do
to
I
one.
Think? I'm the president? I need surrogates? I'm sick and broken
I'm happy
down.
To do it.
I can't go on the road anymore.
Not surrogates in the Helen Hunt.
My surrogates are hot, too. Look at them. Flex. Good boy. Okay. Well, here is a timely novel. Atlas Drugged. Have you heard of this book?
Yes.
It's a quote-unquote sequel to Atlas Shrugged. It's a world where, you know, Romney and Ryan's plans to privatize government becomes a reality.
Yeah.
What a timely idea. The author joins us now, Stephen Goldstein. Hi, Stephen.
Good to talk with you.
Nice to talk to you, too. Well, this is, you know, you were thinking this would be some sort of nightmare scenario. It would be a President Romney world, wouldn't it?
Indeed. And I actually finished the manuscript about a year ago, and it came out at the beginning, the book was officially released at the beginning of June, the words I put into the mouth of the people who were, that is, the fictional governor of Florida and the fictional president of the United States, after, in my book, a devastating storm strikes Florida.
Oh, wow.
You know, okay. And what happens
Are you
is,
psychic, Stephen? Come on.
I am psychic. Do you remember on Friends, Daphne Moon, she says, I'm psychic? Well, what happens is Florida is destroyed, but in my book, things have gotten so bad. That's why Atlas is drugged. People have been drugged on the notions of free market, you know, greed is good and glorified. From Atlas Shrugged, they have brought it to the point where it's no longer the United States of America, it's the corporate states of America, and everything is indeed privatized.
Yeah, I'm reading this thing. There are no more government agencies.
Yeah.
The USA is now the corporate states of America. The National Hurricane Center has been privatized, and then because it couldn't make a profit, shut down. Of course, a monster hurricane slams into Florida. No one has any idea how big the storm is, and the state is devastated. I was just reading a piece yesterday from the LA Times, Stephen, that
yeah.
about what the president was able to mobilize and how quickly.
Yeah,
I mean, and this is exactly, I think Stephen Colbert was saying, made the joke about, you know, who better to respond than the state whose infrastructure has just been washed out to sea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's exactly
but
what
you know,
right.
You know what's interesting is that idea of the privatizing of the National Hurricane Center,
mm-hmm.
several years ago when Rick Santorum, dare I even utter his name,
yeah.
Was in the Senate, he proposed legislation that would have prohibited the National Hurricane Center from providing any information to the public that
wow.
a for-profit entity could have made possible. Meaning, if you were poor and couldn't afford a 900 line, then who gives you know what if
right.
if you're blown away? But did I think that Mitt Romney, when I heard his words, I said to myself, it's my book. I
yeah,
can't
well,
believe it.
Stephen, exactly. You go. I mean, you have to really think about how deeply bad an idea this is. I mean, when you see that clip from the primaries of him saying, well, anytime you can send something back to the states, good. Anytime you can privatize
yeah,
it,
yeah.
even better.
Even better. There is a word for it, actually. I don't think it's in the psychologist's or psychiatrist's, you know, official guide to neuroses and things, but it's an unofficial one, and it's called mishugas. It comes from Yiddish. It's craziness. These people are mishuga. But
it's
the
a
word,
whole mishpucha. Listen,
yeah,
I know
yeah,
what
the
you're
whole
saying.
The mishpucha is mishuga. But in the meantime, the interesting thing is how many people, including Paul Ryan, and, of course, Romney and others have fallen for this
yeah.
crap.
Yeah. yeah. Well, Stephen, I mean, we were saying earlier on the show, but, I mean, it really boggles the mind. You go, wait a minute. You're going to try to figure out how to make a profit off people in the middle of an emergency, in the middle of a
exactly.
tragedy, in
yes,
a tragedy where it is time sensitive.
Exactly.
I mean, really?
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, and in my book, the interesting thing is I make the victims of my fictional hurricane, the rich, the especially rich. This hurricane that I have fantasized goes up the coast of Florida on both sides and typically goes after the most expensive properties. So what they discover is the rich are in this too. And they are literally taken aback
right.
that, you know, even by the way, if you have money, you can't get it to people.
Yeah,
you can't get this stuff because
well,
the stuff can't come.
And how on top of you know, I mean, take any subject, but how egregious is it that Mitt Romney responds to this now? Of course, by several days later, he won't answer the question for days and days. Goes, oh, of course, I would fund FEMA. I know, literally. Oh, I never said that. Even
well,
like we've seen the clip.
That's part of the neurosis, you know. That's part of the thing. And the flip side of it is that people will listen to that and let him get away with it.
Yeah.
And some people will actually vote for him, and then,
Stephen,
God help us, it doesn't happen that he's elected, because I don't think he will be, but imagine, just imagine the whole thing. There's another flip side to this, too. You know how in Massachusetts there was this tainted vaccine because there was no
right.
oversight? People
yeah.
That's also what happens at the beginning of my book.
Oh,
they're,
nice.
They're,
wow.
they're celebrating the fact that there's no more FDA. So it isn't just
yeah.
the Hurricane
wow.
Center. It's all
of the firewall
that
has been created between government and the things that are bad for people.
We just did that story yesterday, the meningitis outbreak, because of, you know, this pharmaceutical company that Mitt Romney did not regulate when he was governor of Massachusetts.
Exactly. Yeah. But Mitt Romney, I remember, then you go to the healthcare thing, and what are they saying to people? Mitt Romney was asked, you know, what do you have to replace Obamacare? Oh, he said, it's the market. The market will take care of itself.
Oh,
and if things don't work out in the market, meaning somebody dies, somebody is maimed, somebody is disadvantaged, then the word will get out, and then you won't do it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? And they're not going to vote for Mitt Romney, though. You know why? Because they're going to take my weekend reading tip, and they were going to pick up Atlas Drugged by Kevin Goldstein.
And by the way,
a cautionary tale about a president, Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
It's on Kindle. It's on Kindle, too. So Kindle. So if people can't get the it immediately, they can get it on Kindle, like, instantly.
Yeah.
And then spread the word. I guarantee you, you know, we've been pushing this notion. If enough people read this book, nobody would touch a Mitt Romney type.
Everyone is going to read this book this weekend.
And we have links to it up at Stephanie Miller, StephanieMiller.com, and on your Facebook page. Steph.
Thank you, Stephen. Best of luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. There we go.
Yeah. All wow, right. That's horrific.
Yeah. Hello. All
impressions.
Right? You're trying to outword Aisha Tyler.
Damn straight.
Obfuscatory.
Obfuscatory is the word of the day. Don't even try.
If you're prescient, you can't really be obfuscatory.
No,
at the same
you cannot.
Time,
no, you can't.
No, you really can't.
That would be oxymoronic.
There you go.
And counterintuitive. No. Never mind.
No.
I just qualify myself from the word off. All right. We've been talking about fine American Michael Bloomberg. This is huge.
Yeah.
Huge. He has endorsed President Obama. So this is it. He was not going to get into this race. You know why? Climate change.
Yep.
There you go. You can't. Will you give me a pop quiz? Okay.
Who said?
It moves it front and center. Good for him. He said that, you know, he says he endorses on specific issues. He said, we can't do it alone. We need leadership from the White House. And over the past 4 years, President Barack Obama has taken major steps to reduce our carbon consumption, including setting higher fuel efficiency standards for cars and trucks. His administration also has adopted tighter controls on mercury emissions, which will help to close the dirtiest coal power plants, which are estimated to kill 13,000 Americans a year. Mitt Romney, too, has a history of tackling climate change. But since then, his reverse course, abandoning the very cap-and-trade program he once supported. In the past, he's also taken sensible positions on immigration, illegal guns, abortion rights, and health care.
Yep.
But he's reverse course on all of them and is even running against the health care model. He signed into law in Massachusetts. That last point about Romney having a reverse course on all of his past sensible positions is at the heart of Obama's argument against Romney right now and is supported by Michael Bloomberg, Colin Powell, Susan Eisenhower. However, speaking of huge, Jim, Donald Trump.
Huge. Oh, boy. This one.
I need to put a moratorium on even mentioning him.
Yeah, you're just giving
him
publicity.
Yesterday, Jim, was a very, very sad day for America after President Obama did not meet his noon deadline to release his college.
Yeah, because he's got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because he did not jump through my hoop. So it's a sad day. He said all the president had to do is give simple documentation, simple paper, a few pages, and the charity would have gotten $5 million or substantially more.
So now all those black kids are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's your fault.
I love this.
He said
someday those papers will come out and people will say, you know what? Donald Trump was right. No. People a million years from now will still say,
Donald
you know
Trump
what?
Was an idiot.
Donald Trump. This is a very, very sad day for the United States. Oh, please.
He's refused to meet my ultimatum.
Talking.
And now, that's why the storm happened.
Mm-hmm. You know,
a huge storm.
He could give $5 million to a charity anyway.
Himself. Yeah.
Just for altruistic purposes.
Yeah. Red Cross. Red Cross something.
Altruistic.
No.
No?
Stop trying.
Oh.
19 minutes after
Stop being obfuscatory.
Exactly. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Highbrow, lowbrow, unibrow. It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi.
My body stays vicious. Got me up in the gym, just working on my fitness. He's my witness. I put your boy on rock, rock, and he be lining down the block just to watch what I got. So delicious. They want a
taste of what I got. Steffi.
Yeah. Hold on.
Check it out.
Check it out. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Okay. Oh, wow. Jim, look at this sleazy ad that Romney's running in on Spanish language stations in...
In Florida?
In Florida, yes.
Yeah.
Not only is President Obama just like Chavez and Castro, he also, I love this, narrator, and to top it off... Obama's Environmental Protection Agency sent emails for Hispanic Heritage Month with a photo of Che Guevara. Something out of Evita. All right. Just I don't know, tickled me. Okay, the president, meanwhile, on the campaign trail.
He's saying he's the candidate of change. Well, let me tell you, Wisconsin, we know what change looks like. And what the governor's offering sure ain't change. Giving more power back to the biggest banks isn't change.
No.
Leaving millions without health insurance isn't change.
No.
Another $5 trillion tax cut that favors the wealthy isn't change.
No.
No. Well, sorry. Okay. Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kevin.
Well, good morning, lovely Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, crew. It's Jackie Schechner. Hello.
Good morning.
I must say, you have a unique blend of playful sensuality just beyond that ice queen demeanor. Very intriguing, very intriguing.
Ice queen?
No, she's not icy at all. She's just very warm.
Just when she does the news is what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's where she's authoritative.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
But now you're like an ice cube tray queen.
Yeah. she's more like a news dominatrix, really.
Oh, hey there.
You but know anyway. You want it. You know you want her to control that news.
But anyway, I wanted to say, and Stephanie, you still remain my first and only.
Thank you.
Pop culture
Thank you.
White
yes.
girl
crush. Back to me. Thank you.
But anyway.
Enough
but
about
anyway.
Jackie Schechner. Go ahead.
I can't help but notice that, well, there's any number of incidents I can mention, but, you know, with 9/11, there was no any leading liberal that I can think of that was, you know, still attacking Bush and so on, because that was a moment that politics should not be involved. And yet, when the New Jersey governor is doing his job, I mean, what do you expect him to do? Simultaneously work with the president and call him every name in the book? He's not psycho like the rest of these people. They are really sociopaths. I'm really stunned at this, that... Literally, life
well, and Kevin,
death situation doesn't stop them.
Right, and this is what I said: is you got to not just get the president back in, you got to get him some people like Chris Christie that can, you know, will work with him, and not these Joe Walshes of the world, right?
Absolutely. And I hope you guys see, please, you know, I couldn't understand the 2010 election because the logical thing would have been so the president got X amount done, even with these people, you know, trying to block him every way. So the logical thing is to get more Democrats, and so we can do more. But instead, the opposite happened. They say, since he didn't, you know, part the Red Sea in 2 years, so I'm going to sit on my hands and let more of these cycles into blocking more. No, I hope you've seen 2 years of their rule,
yep.
What it called it. So please get out there, as Stephanie says, anyone with a
well,
brain.
Well, Tammy Duckworth is up 10 points over Joe yep. Walsh. I'm not sure where, but I know that the race is very competitive for Michelle Bachmann. Jim Graves yep. is doing very well. I think even the stunning Steve King is stunning.
He's in a little bit of danger.
He's in a little bit of trouble.
He's stunned.
Iowa. Huh?
He's stunned.
Yeah, that was his main concern, by the way, in the hurricane, is people were going to use you know, government money for, I don't know what, Gucci bags.
Gucci bags.
And massages.
Right. Yeah.
And 50-inch flat
massage TVs. Parlors, he said.
Oh. Massage parlors.
Wow.
Interesting
yes.
choice of words.
Does not want you to have a happy ending. To this hurricane, no
seems
matter
to me
what.
He's a little familiar with massage yeah. parlors.
Yeah, the way they just
rolled off his tongue.
Yes.
Wow. So we were going to get to this in right-wing world, but wow, Republicans eating their own on Mitt Romney, or excuse me, on Chris Christie.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to take a while.
Nah.
Stephanie!
The Daily Caller's Matt Lewis has proffered a number of self-serving conspiracy theories regarding Christie's motivation for allowing the president to view the devastation. Yeah, that was nice of him. What? Only in passing did he suggest that perhaps the governor was thinking about his citizens and not the political careers of his fellow Republicans. His primary gripe with Christie is he was simply too grateful to President Obama for being responsive and quick with his release of federal disaster relief funds. He said, isn't it possible to be serious and respectful and thankful without becoming a prop for Obama's reelection?
I mean, it's just...
It's all about getting elected to them.
Couldn't he have just done a flyover like Bush did in New Orleans?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it just...
A photo op.
It's incredible. We'll get to more of that in Right Wing World and check in with our political strategist friend David Bender.
Yay!
As we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
And I'm 10 years old. And in 8 years, I'll be an alcoholic.
That should be settled.
Check that off.
Yeah.
Check that off my list of dreams. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. All right, Right Wing World coming up. Quick, with our quick time. Yeah. David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
David Bender.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
Bender.
David Bender.
Bender, I just met her. Hello, David Bender.
Hey, kids. That sounded like a little girl for Barack Obama.
Yes, Barack Obama.
Barack Obama. No more crying. It's almost over. Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Oh, I feel the same.
We are almost there. And just a couple of things that I, you know, let's go to school for just a second. The school bell's just rung.
A
couple of things to remember. That A, this, no matter what the polls are saying, this is all about turnout, turnout, turnout.
Yep.
And it actually matters. Remember we've been talking about only 8 or 9 states matter in this whole thing? Not true anymore. Because if in fact we don't run up the kind of numbers that Mitt Romney is running up in Texas and Alabama and Georgia, if we don't do that in California and New York and Illinois, if everybody doesn't get out and vote, then there is a possibility that the Electoral College goes to Obama and Mitt Romney can narrowly win the popular vote. Now, can you imagine what the oxymoron Rush Limbaugh is going to be saying the day after if there's a split between the two?
This has never happened in the history of the country.
Yes, it hasn't, we said on Al Gore's network.
It's never happened before. But he is an oxymoron, which, by the way, is the perfect name for him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, it will work to delegitimize any victory we get. We have to take every weapon out of their arsenal.
Yep.
So vote wherever you live. Turn out. And this is not the time. I get why people feel like they want to vote Libertarian or vote for a third-party candidate. This isn't the time.
No.
Every vote for Barack Obama is going to count toward that overall total nationally, and that is really, really important. So that's lesson one. Lesson two is the U.S. Senate is where the second term President Obama is going to be sending those nominees to the Supreme Court.
Yep.
So places like Indiana, where, by the way, Joe Donnelly is up 11 this morning Richard Murdoch.
Yay.
11 points. Those places are incredibly important. Tammy Baldwin, those seats, that's where people can really hit the ground running and help both the president and help make sure he has a Senate who will work with him. Yep. That's my message. There it is.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny you bring up the Supreme Court. I was just reading a headline, conservative scholars bullish that a Romney Supreme Court, just that phrase makes the hair on my neck stand up, could reverse longstanding liberal jurisprudence. I mean, David, I don't think people really understand how they were basically saying what it would be is what the Tea Party movement has been calling for. It would be the rolling back of everything we have accomplished.
Well, they started it with Citizens United, which was a 5-4 vote. So was Bush v. Gore.
Right.
And this is why this is not just an election. When that phrase you keep pointing out, this is the most important election of our lifetime, this is a 25-year election here, because it will shape the court for the next 25 years.
Yeah.
Vote counts.
Right, David, I mean, this article I'm just reading, talking about literally scaling back the social safety net, abortion rights. Everybody says, they're never going to overturn abortion. No, they will overturn Roe v. Wade.
Will.
I mean, this is not fear-mongering this time.
How about the environment? How about global warming? How about climate change? All of these things will come up for the court.
You don't need
safety. And it all matters. It will all wind up. There are three branches of government, and the court is a lifetime appointment.
Yeah.
So people get it. But we've got four more days, and if we can, if the little Barack Obama girl can just be patient, we're going to get us all there, but we've got to do it together.
Just settle down, little girl. We'll get you a unicorn that farts glitter.
We will.
You a pony. All right.
Love you guys.
Love you too, honey. Talk to you soon, Bendy.
Yay.
All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world. See what's doing.
It's too early for that.
I'm guessing it's going to be a Chris Christie pinata morning.
Could be.
Okay. Rush Limbaugh.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has decided to play the role of a Greek column today for President Obama.
Huh?
Chris Christie's the only Republican. Not just praising Obama. I mean, it's... let's just put it this way. Is it wrong for one man to love another man? But that man love out there, it's isolated state of New Jersey.
Does he have any kind of, you know, modulating kind of
device
equipment?
Apparently the golden microphone is just
gold.
It has no modulation.
From all the OxyContin, but you must have like some meters or something indicating that you're blowing the whole
That was the original audio. That wasn't me over-modulating.
So that was kind of a gay joke, I guess?
Yeah, it was a gay joke.
All the people that have died
and
you know, the president and Chris Christie are joining together to help.
Yeah.
It's a gay joke about the president and Chris Christie. Okay. All right, and also in other news, he said that Chris Christie is fat.
Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh. Okay, just fill in your own joke. It's Friday. I'm too tired. Okay, Tucker Carlson on Fox News.
I would say natural disasters in general favor the incumbent. It puts any challenger in a tough position. What do you say that's seemly but effective? In this case, it allows Obama to play president, to pretend, as
play
you just saw, that he hasn't run this incredibly divisive, nasty campaign that literally singles out groups of Americans and blames them for America's problems, which is what he's done.
Wait, where did the 47% thing come from?
Mm. Yep,
that was Romney.
Yeah. Okay.
Dividing the country.
Hannity on the president.
The help
response.
Of your tax dollars, he boards Air Force One and he begins his day with a stump speech where? In Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Mm.
He then flew from where else? From there, he went to Las Vegas. And his final event is just getting underway right now in Boulder, Colorado. When that concludes, he plans to stay the night, not in the Northeast, but in Ohio. And with the horrifying images of Sandy's devastation, now contrasted with the president's constant campaigning, this is starting to look like, in my opinion, Obama's Katrina.
Oh, nicely done.
Hilarious.
Surprise.
3 days before the election, he's campaigning on Air Force One.
It's the first time, apparently, a president has ever had a special plane.
Yeah.
That's been paid for by taxpayers.
Well, he took 3 full days off while Romney did his faux storm relief benefit.
Right.
What do you think Sean Hannity says when he gets a poll in that says 80% of Americans think the president did a spectacular job with this, much like Chris Christie?
That gigantic noggin explodes.
Yeah.
He says, but the 13th.
Obama's Katrina.
Yeah.
Clearly, that's what people think.
It's the 13% that matter.
They're all stupid.
Okay. Bill O'Reilly.
Do you think it has anything to do with grievance? Because in some African American communities, there is a grievance against whites who aren't sympathetic to their cause.
Mm.
And that may be driving a little bit of it. So there are some African Americans who believe that the reason they're not prospering as a community, all right, is because society hasn't done enough. And the reason society hasn't done enough is because of rich white guys.
It sounded like he was making that up as he went along.
I was just going to say,
seriously,
it's really like they're down to seeds and stems.
In other words, give me some iced tea and effort.
Okay. All right. Who'd better to be in touch with the concerns of the African-American community?
Hey, they got knives and forks.
MF-er, I want more iced tea.
Blacks, much to my surprise, eat food. With utensils.
Utensils. I had no
There's
idea.
There's not one person saying,
MF-er, I want more iced tea.
Oh, no!
Okay. He actually said that.
He did. Yes, he did.
He went to a black restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Sylvia's
in Harlem.
Yes. And
yes. Shocked that they were
felt
eating
the need
on plates.
To say they were, yeah, picked up blacks on plates.
Who knew?
I didn't know that until I went on tour with Aisha Tyler. I had
no
idea.
And there were knives
idea.
And nobody got stabbed.
No idea.
It was, it's amazing.
Absolutely no idea.
Did you get that, Newsbusters?
This was a parody of Bill O'Reilly, Newsbusters. Okay.
Oh, my God. I could totally picture Newsbusters printing. I didn't know blacks ate off of plates until I ate with Aisha Tyler.
Aisha and I got to do our favorite, you know, Wolf Blitzer of all time because of the storm, because we were, like, hoping he would say something else.
We'll have to leave it there.
No, what he said during Hurricane Katrina, you remember.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Look
at these people.
Oh, so poor, so angry, so black.
Yeah, he said it. Okay.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
Was Aisha, my mic on?
Aisha says she, and her husband, she and her husband do it almost every day at lunchtime. She comes out and says, honey, I am so hungry, so black. Hurry and get me something to eat. Okay.
Yeah, never.
Rush Limbaugh.
Election day is Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
Oh, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Early voting is going to end. When is it end? Tomorrow? We don't know because we don't early vote because we don't cheat.
What?
Early voting is early cheating voting now is cheating. Because people are voting more for Obama on early voting. Okay.
And they don't count the votes until election
right.
day.
Right. Right. Oh, you would say that.
You know what? They're just saying.
Cheater.
They're just saying all this to pad themselves for a big time Romney loss.
I was just going to say something that sounds like somebody's preparing.
Yes. That's all they're saying all this for.
And he's like right to Lesnar. I'm telling you, I've been saying for a long time, it's going to be a landslide for Romney. Like, you can tell they know
right.
this is not going to go well, and they're trying to, yeah. Sean Hannity on the radio.
I don't know what tomorrow's job numbers are going to be. Oh, I have no doubt they'll cook the books. And by all objective measures, the unemployment should rise tomorrow. But run by the Bureau of Political Labor Statistics, who knows what you'll get?
Oh.
They may drop it to 5% just to make you feel good. And then the next one, whoops, back up to 10%.
Boy, here they're getting whiny.
Wow. Okay. And we added, what, Jackie, 171,000 jobs.
Right.
And then the numbers were amended up last month.
84,000 extra
thank
ones.
You. And the unemployment ticked up very, very, very slightly.
7.9.
It didn't go down, Sean.
But it's because more people are
looking
for work.
Yes.
All right.
That's how it works.
Okay. All right. I'm a little winded from Right Wing World. Yeah. I think I'll be on the fainting couch.
Okay.
45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You can't turn her off. Not in the middle of turning her on. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, Jack, you shouldn't be getting ready for your newscast at the top of the hour.
What you doing
why
on
you
your
texting?
Back?
Why are you texting? Why are you texting? You should be dancing. It's Friday, 49 minutes after the hour.
To the hustle.
Kathy Schechter and I, we're going spinning, and then we're going to go to lunch. We're going to be the ladies who lunch.
You're
going to
kill her.
No, I'm not.
I have better shape than I am. I'm very excited about this.
You need shoes for spinning?
You do. You
right?
need shoes that lock
so
into
lock
the bike
into the
so then when you try to get away, you can't.
You can't, you can't get out.
So she cannot escape me.
You can't run.
They lock you in until the end of the class.
I don't know if you remember the story when she took me to my first spinning class and I couldn't get out of the bike and she refused to help me.
I didn't realize she was locked into the bike.
She just
I was in the park dog going, I wonder where Jackie is.
I couldn't get out.
Well. All right, so kids, we have a couple of hot Obama surrogates coming up next hour, including Kate Walsh from Grey's Anatomy.
That's right.
And more Jim.
What?
Hmm? I have a guest quote for you. Mm-hmm. Who's Ed? For anybody who voted for Obama in 2008 and had even the vaguest sense of his platform, the notion that he has fallen short of some plausible performance threshold seems to me unfathomable. Obama's resume of accomplishments is broad and deep, running the gamut from economic to social to foreign policy. Who said that?
Hot actress Kate Walsh?
No, you know what? That might be a good guess, but no.
Okay.
In this case, we posted this yesterday, didn't we?
Yes.
I love this piece. Jonathan Chait. On my future husband list, wrote in New York Magazine, The Case for Obama, Why He is a Great President. Yes, great. Thank you. Jim, who said? It's noteworthy that the four of the best decisions that Obama made during his presidency ran against the advice of much of his own administration. Numerous Democrats in Congress and the White House urged him to throw in the towel on health care reform, but he was one of the very few voices in the administration determined to see it through. Many of his own advisors, both economists steeped in free market models and advisors anxious about a bailout-weary public, argued against his decision to extend credit to and restructure the auto industry on Libya. Obama's staff presented him with options to either to posture ineffectually or do nothing. He alone forced them to draw up an option that would prevent a massacre, and Obama overruled some cautious advisors and decided to kill Osama bin Laden. Who said that?
Saddam Hussein.
No, that very spectacularly bad guess. That was Jonathan Chait in the case. For it's a spectacular article, I thought. Jim, one last one. Who said the latter three decisions are all highly popular now, but all of them carry the risk of inflicting a mortal political wound, like Bill Clinton's health care failure and Jimmy Carter's attempted raid into Iran, like George W. Bush presented with a similar option, did not strike bin Laden. In making these calls, Obama displayed judgment and nerve. Who said that?
Charles Nelson Reilly.
No. Really bad guesses. Jonathan Chait, I love this article. Okay. Don't you love it, Chris?
I love it. It's fabulous.
It's a fabulous program.
Okay. No, I sometimes, like, I feel like I'm losing my mind. I don't understand why anybody could not. You look at his list of accomplishments. We played that Fast Talker yesterday. A lot of people
John Machida?
Right, asking for a link to it.
It's on your Facebook page.
Yeah, because I think, and I've said this over and over, against unbelievable obstructionism, I really and truly think he has accomplished an unbelievable amount. And so does Jonathan Chait, my future husband, who also says, a year ago I wrote about the pervasive disillusionment felt by Obama's supporters. It is a sentiment that has shadowed every Democratic president since Franklin Roosevelt, and even Roosevelt provoked long bouts of agony and disillusionment among his supporters. All were seen by many Democrats at the time as failures, weaklings, or unprincipled deal-makers. It's true that all of them, including Obama, have made some errors. What this tells us, though, is that we need some unrealistic baseline against which to measure them. Obama can boast a record of accomplishments that bests any president since Roosevelt and has fewer demerits on his record than any of them, including Roosevelt. The only president that comes close in gross positive accomplishment is Lyndon Johnson, whose successes were overwhelmed by his failures to such a degree that he abandoned his reelection campaign. The immediacy of the political moment can and usually does blind us. Skipping forward. The second indictment of Obama is he failed to redeem the broader vision of transpartisan governance he campaigned on. Mm-hmm. The reason this happened is the Republicans' leadership in Congress grasped early on that the path to returning to power required Obama to fail, and they could bring this about by denying his initiatives any support. Which is why I think it's such amazing timing. What he's doing with Chris Christie, which is proved, and he's right back to where he talked about no blue states or red states. There are no Republicans and Democrats in a storm, and this is what he's been trying to do since day one.
If he had more cooperative
Thank
Republicans
you.
Like Chris Christie, they would have gotten
Thank
stuff
you.
Done.
Thank you. Which is exactly why the Republican strategy, Jim, making Obama's promise to transcend partisanship fail by withholding cooperation has worked. Whether the strategy succeeds in its ultimate goal, returning Republicans to power, depends on the election. This is the case Mitt Romney's trying to make right now. Oh, I'm the only one that can work across the aisle. Please. Right. He finishes by saying what can be said without equivocation is that Obama has proved himself morally, intellectually, temperamentally, and strategically in my lifetime or my parents, he is easily the best president. On his own terms and not merely as a contrast to an unacceptable alternative, he is overwhelmingly deserves re-election. Thank you. That is posted up at our Facebook page.
Yes.
The case for Obama, why he is a great president, yes.
That's a good piece.
Great. Thank you.
Socialist.
I'm going to take credit for it.
Communist.
Okay. All right.
About barbecue.
Betty in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Betty.
Yeah, hi. Could I be the official Mensa member who has actually attended real Mensa functions where fart jokes were being told?
Oh, wow. Looky there. Hi, Betty. Go ahead.
Now, you played a clip in the last hour where Obama started with America can't succeed, and then he took a breath.
Right.
That's going to be the new ad.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Mitt Romney has no shame at this point. Yes. Unlike Obama, I believe America can succeed. Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go to Tina in South Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tina.
Hey, Steph. I'm from South Carolina lesbian, and I'm in love with you.
Oh, thank you. Hey. Thank you, South Carolina lesbian.
Hey.
You're the one.
Well, I'm calling because Donald Trump had put that timeline on Obama.
Yes, because the president's not dealing with anything else. So, yeah, I'm sure he took that deadline
exactly.
very seriously.
He's not real busy right now. And I was wondering why he hasn't answered Stephen Colbert's timeline.
Which one was that?
Well, he told him he would give him $1 million if he could dip his ball.
Oh, that's right. Oh, sorry. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Yes, he can't say that on the air. Yes. Oh, Stephen Colbert's, that was his challenge to Trump, which was very funny. And we didn't realize that it was that dirty. Okay. When we originally played it.
You can play it on basic cable.
Yes.
You can't play it on the radio.
No. Deborah in Tennessee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Hi.
Hi.
I've been a Democrat all my life, but my husband of 17 years, he's been a Republican. He voted for Obama in 2008, and he's going to vote for him again. And his sister called him the other day to try to sway him, and I was surprised at how grown up he was. He was so informed, and he held his own with her. And but she's a teacher. She's in a union, and she's still voting for Romney.
Oy.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Huh.
Did you see the what was that the yard signs that were showing last night? It says Romney Ryan, and then there's a sign next to it that says husband signs, not my mine or my son's.
Yeah.
Let's go to Margo in Orlando. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Margo.
Hi there, Stephanie.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Like you said, my name is Margo, so I'm calling to talk to Eve. I mean, Jackie.
Oh, Eve, it's for you.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about you, Eve.
Okay. I'm in Florida, and I just wanted to talk a little bit about the amendments that they have going on there. They have an Amendment 1 where they're trying to repeal the Affordable Care Act. They think that the Florida voters can just opt out of it. And what do you think about that constitutional contradiction?
I don't think that that's actually possible. I'd have to take a look at the amendment. I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen any reports on it either.
Yeah, from what I understand, though, that's actually an option.
Eve Harrington will take time out from stabbing me in the back to research that.
I'll take a look at that and see what we can get back to.
After the top of the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
And the Stephanie Miller Show is brought to you in part by The Last Open Road. Where is The Last Open Road? What is The Last Open Road? Have you traveled The Last Open Road? Go to lastopenroad.com.
Okay, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Stephanie Miller Show on Facebook. Lots of great stuff posted.
Oh, yeah.
You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice DD Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Thank you, Jackie Schechner, by the way, for fact-checking something that's been driving me crazy. That Mitt Romney keeps saying on the campaign trail that 23 million Americans are out of work. It's 12 million. It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Isn't he supposed to be the business money math guy?
Yes. Well,
yeah.
And we just added 171,000 jobs, the new jobs numbers up today, and he's like, oh, that means the economy's at a standstill. No, it means we're moving forward.
It sounds like he counted the people who weren't even looking for work or were never in the workforce in the first place. That's what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. He's gish-galloping the entire media because he tells so many lies, it's hard to fact-check all of them all the time. It's just
like they've given up a little bit. Not that they're not working so hard. It's just like we can't keep up. There's a backlog. It's like the Lucy and Ethel on the conveyor belt of lies.
Chocolate.
They can't keep up.
Right. Exactly. It's almost like...
Some of them are going to slide through.
There he is again. Yep. 23 million.
It just makes me want to chug a whole bottle of Vitamita Vegemin.
Right? Me too.
All right.
So that's your secret.
Sexy liberal Aisha Tyler joined us. She is on the way to Ohio for the president. And Hal Sparks will join us Monday in studio.
Yeah.
He was stuck back in New York for a few days. He just got back. Anyway, blew the roof off the sucker, literally, in New York. It wasn't us, though, at the Beacon Theater. Just saying, it was before the hurricane.
Oh, the roof is still on the Beacon Theater.
Yes, Andrea writes, Steph. Awesome show in New York City. All four of you on stage. Great seeing my fellow steppers losing their when Mama came out. Yeah, someone showed me their boobs immediately when I got on stage, and then people just started yelling catchphrases from the show at me.
Did you get a date out of that?
No.
Oh.
But it was a nice rack.
Okay.
I was going to say, were they nice boobs?
Yeah.
Nice.
So it wasn't Rush Limbaugh who flashed you. Okay.
Nobody wants to see those man boobs.
Ooh. I did my Lucy.
You did, see?
Ooh.
I'm now an official Stephead. I've been going to L.A. and New York City. I bought a meet and grow up in L.A., but was too shy to say hi. This time I approached you and asked you to sign my green pashmina. You called me a bitch, and that warmed the cockles of my, and breasticles of my heart.
Aww.
You're welcome, Andrea. Finally, an unsolicited testimony for Cedar Side. I always take a little spritzer with me when I travel. I heard of the bed bug outbreak in New York City and freaked out a little, but a little spray of Cedar Side in my luggage keeps the creepy crawlers away.
Yeah.
Yay!
You don't take them home with you.
Creepy crawler. I took home a strep throat from New York.
You did?
Yes.
Nice. And then
that's
also,
gone now, isn't it?
As you remember, I left my wallet on the plane.
Oh, yes. Nice. Is there an update?
No, there's no update. However, I didn't, as you know, I said I would never say the name of the airline. It is an American airline. Mm. And so whoever cleaned the plane, and that would be Flight 19 from New York to L.A.
On an American airline.
Whoever cleaned this part of the plane, it was 22A. Apparently, he's trying to get quite a bit of cash off my credit cards in Compton.
Mm.
So some American airline might want to check out that particular situation. Because also, guess what? My Social Security card was in there.
That
was smart, wasn't it? Yes. Having a little bit of a nightmare. And now you know what I have to do? Because of somebody, I don't know, I'm not saying who, somebody on an American airline that cleaned the plane.
You really shouldn't carry your Social Security card.
I know.
You.
Yeah.
No,
you. Learn that the hard way.
Keep that in like a safe deposit box or something.
Anyway.
Okay.
Oh, so I had just gotten my license renewed on my birthday in September, and I was eligible by mail.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have to go to the DMV. They stole my license that I just got renewed, and I was. Oh boy, DMV, seventh ring of hell, same thing.
Oh God,
same thing.
Can't stand the DMV. I think we're probably thinking about the same DMV that's down by the Target,
right?
In West Hollywood, is that?
Yes.
Is it?
By our B celebrity
what,
gym.
Is there a nice DMV?
That one's awful. Oh, God, is that one awful.
There's some things you can do
with AAA.
Yeah,
thanks a lot, whoever cleaned the plane on an American airline.
Yeah, you can't renew it online when it's been stolen. You have to go in and get your,
right.
Mm. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Get a new mugshot.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Ellen, oh, here's a sexy little idea. Ellen in Honolulu. Mahalo to Current, first of all. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Hey, the Sexy Liberal Show, what better way to celebrate the holidays than in Hawaii? Hey, now, you could bring the whole crew. You know who else comes to Hawaii for the holidays? The First Family. You could have Aisha Tyler get POTUS to do panel with you. That's going to happen.
And the whole island of Oahu becomes cookie-scented.
It smells like cookies and freedom.
That's right.
And coconuts.
Cookies and freedom, bitches.
Coconut macaroon scented.
There you go.
Okay. That's, just in case you've tuned in, Sexy Liberal Aisha Tyler, who has met President Obama, said he smells like...
Cookies and freedom. Freedom.
Okay. And I just sense that that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. 1-800-STEP-12. And speaking of hot Obama surrogates, we've got more coming up this hour. So mm-hmm. Okay.
Some hot chicks.
Right. Okay. Mittens on the campaign. Here he is, Mittens.
He's got to find something to suggest it's going to be better over the next 4 years. And so we came up with an idea last week, which is he's going to create the Department of Business. I don't think adding a new chair in his cabinet will help add millions of jobs on Main Street.
Mm, mm-hmm. Well, we just had 171,000 just this month.
Yeah.
And last month was a revised upward. So
there's that.
So there.
That happened.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and they're still laughing about climate change.
Yeah.
You know,
ha, ha, ha.
Ha, big joke.
When would that ever happen?
Real. It couldn't possibly. Oh, no.
Irene in Baltimore. Hi, Irene. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm calling about the bipartisanship. Mm-hmm. Now, everyone is claiming that Obama did not reach across the aisle. He's been reaching across the aisle ever since he's been in office. Mm-hmm. Republicans have even helped mold some of the things that have been passed, but refused to vote for them.
Yep.
And
by the way, and the president has put on an actual display of bipartisanship, which is what he's been trying to do. And it shouldn't take a disaster of these proportions for that to happen. All right. Mittens on the campaign trail.
I know that... The Obama folks are chanting four more years. But our chant is this, 5 more days.
Oh.
5 more days is our chant.
5 more days until you lose. Okay. 5 more days. That's right, Mittens. And Romney, meanwhile. Stop it.
Yeah. Women have been coming up to me and saying, please help. Women have been coming to me saying, we're hurting. All the voices of the Americans that are out there that need help. And the only thing I can tell them, is that help is on the way.
Stop it.
That's, yeah, Bush's slogan. That, we don't need any more help like that. Thanks.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, why don't you cut him a check?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you really want to help.
He is a used idea salesman, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You know, Bush. By the way, speaking of Bush, Jim, this is exciting. The Bush Library, I have some new details.
By the way, he's going to visit... the Bush Library.
The library.
Yeah.
He's going to visit Mitt Romney's money in the Cayman Islands.
Yeah.
This weekend. He won't be speaking here in America. I don't know, apparently he's not helpful in any way on the campaign trail for Mitt, no?
Persona non grata.
Mm. This is very exciting news. A 15-acre park at the upcoming George W. Bush Presidential Center will recreate a Texas prairie. Complete with a wildflower meadow, a new blend of native grasses, and even trees transplanted from the former president's ranch. All that brush that he used to pretend he was clearing, because he was, you know, a rancher and all. Ooh, grasses. I wonder if there's his favorite. Remember switchgrass? Remember when he used to talk about being an environmental president?
Yeah, switchgrass, 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 switchgrass.
Okay. I can't believe I still have that in there.
I know. The Presidential Center will also house Bush's Policy Institute.
Wow. It's a shack outside LaGrange.
The museum will feature a Texas interpretation of the White House Rose Garden, which Laura Bush said museum goers will come to about halfway through their visit. Remember, that's where she used to chain smoke and curse her life. Rose Garden. Bush said prairie restoration is important to her and her husband. Oh, because you remember how environmentally friendly he always was. Among the grasses, it's a new being used as a new hardy grass. I'm guessing it's more,
switchgrass.
The Bush Center is, here's the punchline, it's aiming to get the highest level certification from the U.S. Green Building Council. Because he's always been so green. Wow. He was not at all on the side of the oil companies or anything.
I wonder if they'll have a collection of
human-animal hybrids.
Ooh! It's island of Dr. Moreau, complete with switchgrass.
Human-animal hybrids.
Yeah.
Where all these spent fuel rods are going, since they couldn't use, you know, what's the thing?
Switchgrass?
No, never mind.
I just wanted to play it again.
Oh, what was it called? Where they're going to store all the nuclear spent fuel rods in the... I can't remember the name of it now.
All right. Nobody help me. All right, 16 minutes after the hour. Hot Romney surrogate next on the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, I meant Obama.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Had me feeling like she's ready to blow.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yucca Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, Jim. No one has any idea what you're talking about now. Okay, that was the place where they put the spent...
Where they wanted to put spent fuel rods, but they didn't allow it because it's too close to aquifers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people are worried about radiation in their water. Whatever.
All right. Last week I was reading USA Today. Did you see this?
Yeah.
Column, Romney wrong to use clear eyes, full hearts. Romney may have co-opted the show's model, but the women of Friday Night Lights know we need Obama. They wrote a couple wrote a great piece. And guess who joins us now?
Who?
Actress Journey Smollett. She played Jess Meriwether on the series Friday Night Lights.
Oh. Yeah.
Hey, Journey, welcome.
Oh, hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really good. I'm fired up. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to elect President Obama.
What? It sounds like you have clear eyes and a full heart.
Well, and that's why we can't lose. I mean,
that's right.
Honestly.
Isn't this funny? I mean, it's one more. We've had musicians. How many people say to Romney, stop using our slogan? You don't stand for anything we stand for, right?
I know. It's so frustrating because he just hijacks things and acts like it's his own. And then I even heard someone told me that he was printing Clear Eyes, Full Hearts on a bracelet and selling it.
Oh.
Yeah. It's kind of tacky. I'm sorry. I mean, especially when the creator of the show and so many folks from the show have said, look, can you stop using that you know, and he has it.
Well, isn't it great, Journey, that, you know, they wrote this piece, and they say it was a rallying cry of hope and optimism in the community where everybody had a fair shot, no matter their background, no matter their parents, no matter their gender, no matter their politics. And, you know, so they wrote, they got us thinking, what would the women of Dylan think about this, meaning the women that you guys played, right?
I mean, the thing is that slogan was meant as a motivator for progress, for power, for greatness. It was meant for everyone. And the things that the show, you know, touched on, especially for women's issues, you know, Mitt Romney doesn't stand for that at all. I mean, you could take the Affordable Care Act, you know, and this is a law that makes it where women, you know, no longer, being a woman is no longer a pre-existing condition,
you know,
where insurers can, you know, they won't charge us more for breast cancer screenings or being a victim of domestic violence. And this law covers, you know, preventative care and annual checkups and birth control. And this is something that Mitt Romney wants to toss out. You know, he also didn't have the guts to stand up for the Fair Pay Act, which guarantees people like Tammy, you know, in the show would be able to have the same kind of equal pay for the kind of job that she was having, you know, being school counselor and school principal, you know, and Romney didn't have the guts to stand up for that. And President Obama, that was the first act that he passed, you know, so.
You sound like a woman that needs to get back in your binder. you're the creator of your show wrote this. I love this. She said, well, the women represented on the show, the women we are in real life are like the millions of women across the nation, women who want to make our own healthcare decisions, women who want to equal pay, everything you just said. You said, in fact, it's President Obama who has shown his values more closely aligned with those represented by the phrase. So she writes, so as women, let's take clear eyes, full hearts back and use it as it was always intended, as a motivator for progress, power, and greatness. And, you know, she talks about it, let's use it as a motivator to vote early and all that. And that's what you're doing, right? You've been phone banking and registering voters, correct?
Definitely. I've been phone banking. I've gone around to different college campuses in certain battleground states and just trying to pump people up. And, you know, this campaign in 2008, it was made up of thousands of people who volunteered their time, weren't getting paid, but it became a movement. And that's what it is again in 2012. I mean, you can go around. I was in North Carolina in Fayetteville and met this amazing woman in her early 90s who shows up to the Barack Obama campaign office every single day just to phone bank. She does not miss a day. You know, and this campaign, it's made up of folks all across America, and that's why President Obama has fought for people, because this campaign's not made up of billionaires, you know, who can just buy an election. It's made up of the people. And, you know, so I'm so passionate about getting folks out. You know, in 2000, President Bush was elected by 537 votes. That's one apartment building or one college dorm, you know.
Yeah.
So this election is going to be super close. And whatever anyone can do, you know, to make sure that people actually show up and are not, you know, discouraged by these crazy voting laws that, you know, they tried to pass in Pennsylvania or other states, you know, so we're just trying to make sure that people vote.
And Journey, there is like one story after another, you know, two of them I have right in front of me. Romney campaign incorrectly trains Iowa poll watchers to check for photo ID. They are doing everything they can, every desperate last minute tactic, whether it's, you know, ads that are provably false or these voter suppression techniques. And I hope that there's a huge backlash against that, don't you?
I really do, because you know what? We need leaders that are honest. We need leaders that you can trust. I mean, we need leaders that have integrity. You can't just put ads out there, you know, that are false and just lie in your ads in some desperate attempt in the last week to scare voters to vote for you. You know, it's just not okay. You know it's bad when the head of a car company comes out saying, no, that ad is just blatantly wrong, and I wish he would stop it. You know it's pretty bad. You know you're pretty desperate when that happens.
Yeah, I mean, I love what the end of this, the piece that the creator of your show wrote. You know, she said, let's use our clear eyes and full hearts to vote early. Let's use our clear eyes and full hearts to tell every friend, family member, and neighbor about what's at stake for women in this election, what's at stake for all of us. And then she says, if we as women make ourselves aware of the issues and make our voices heard, we almost certainly cannot lose. And I, you know, certainly.
And how true is that?
Right, and certainly the polls are going that way, aren't they? I mean, it seems like more and more people are waking up, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think we're going to be surprised. I think we're going to be really pleasantly surprised by the turnout on Tuesday. I'm confident we're going to take, you know, these battleground states, and that we're just gonna blow Romney out of the water, because you know these pundits, everyone wants a story, so they say the polls lead in one way, the next day is leading completely opposite. But I really believe that the folks are going to show up, and you know, President Obama's going to have 4 years. Four more years.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, you can just look at polling numbers and say that certainly in all the battlegrounds, it's going that way. But, you know, when I talk to people like you that are out there, I hear the same thing over and over, Journey, that people are like, I don't see where this enthusiasm gap is that the media keeps trying to gin up, right?
Not at all. I mean, I've gone to college campuses, and there are college students that I met that were 14 years old in 2008, you know, so they couldn't vote in the last election, and they are so fired up. I've got, you know, my brother attends a college here in California, and his, you know, he's got folks that are, like, doing phone banking parties, and, you know, I've gone and seen little kids as young as 10 years old participating in phone banking parties. Like, I don't get this whole enthusiasm gap, because I personally haven't seen it. But I think because people see how important these issues are, and, you know, Romney, you just can't believe what he says. You can't trust what he says. One minute he says he stands for this topic, then the next minute he's completely against it when he's talking to a different person. I'm just like, this guy flip-flops on every single topic.
Yep, and I think that's exactly what Mayor Bloomberg just said. I think that's why it's a powerful endorsement. Here's a former Republican who's an independent who is not going to get involved, who basically that's what he said, right? You cannot trust Mitt Romney.
Yeah, it was a really powerful endorsement. I mean, he didn't come out for any candidate in 2008, but, you know, that's why this election is, like, the most important election of my lifetime.
Absolutely. Journey, we're at a hard break. Thank you so much, and thanks for your work on the trail.
Thank you so much for having me, Stephanie.
Thank you. Journey Smollett of Friday Night Lights. Yep. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You expect me to ignore my fans? They're life and death to me, baby. They're the ones who really meant it.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800.
That sounded like a big tumbler of something.
Right.
Scotch.
1-800-STEP-12 is the phone number. Oh, you know, because we're animal lovers and helpers, there is a foul-mouthed parrot seeking a new home in the United Kingdom. Everyone has a few faults. In Beaky's case, he swears a lot and he bites. Beaky needs interaction with people or other birds to have a fulfilling life. I said we'd give him to Dana Loesch.
Oh, there's some new Dana Loesch news.
Oh, really?
What's that?
She was quietly suspended indefinitely by CNN.
Oh, no.
We'll have to leave her there.
They've been using her very sparingly ever since she would drop trowel and urinate on dead Taliban people, dead corpses. Mm. Mm. They've been using her sparingly, and then for the last 2 months, they just haven't been using her.
She's delightful. Uh-huh. Okay. Oh, somebody points out if we had voter suppression here in California, I wouldn't be able to vote since someone just stole my driver's license.
Hmm. That's true.
I was mentioning this one. Romney camp incorrectly trains Iowa poll watchers to check for photo ID.
Yeah.
Huh, that's weird. They seem to be getting a lot of wrong information, those Romney poll watchers. Huh.
Huh.
First of all, we talked about Wisconsin, I think, yesterday, that they were training poll watchers to mislead voters in Wisconsin. Now, according to new documents, Wisconsin may not be the only state. They found in Iowa, Romney poll watchers are being trained to watch for voters who show up without photo ID, even though there is no voter ID law in Iowa. Pay attention in your state. Know what the rules are so you're not misled by...
Right. Go to gottavote.com.
Oh, they're just concerned citizens. They're also told not to identify themselves
That's
as
right.
Romney supporters. They're just concerned citizens trying to help you. Please, of course we're trying to help you. Of course we are.
Of course we are.
We're just trying to get you the right information.
Of course we are.
How about this one out here, actually? California Dems say hundreds of voter registrations were flipped. After contacting more than 350 voters sampled at random, a California newspaper found 30 people in a single county whose party affiliation was switched to Republican without their consent. How about that? They began interviewing voters after noticing a huge surge of Republican voter registrations, including about 4,800 people who changed their affiliation to Republican. Just remember, if you're a registered Republican, Jackie Schechter will not date you.
Oh.
Put that out there.
It's true.
Really?
Right?
Not at all.
That's the only criterion. That's it.
That's really it. Other than that, I'm open. I mean, I just think that your values are reflected by your politics.
Right.
And so I tend to believe that if somebody believes in what the Republican Party believes in value-wise, they're probably not a good fit for me.
Yeah, I believe you should go get me some coffee. Yeah.
Get back in your bunder.
I mean, I come from a mixed marriage. My mom is Republican. My dad is a Democrat.
I don't know anything about that.
My mom used to be a Republican, but Reagan changed her mind.
Okay.
Oh, why don't we? Yeah. How about this? Yeah, you know the party of religion stuff, family values, you know how. Catholic bishop who compared Obama to Hitler orders anti-Obama letter read from the pulpit. That seems like a weird separation of church and state thing. It's not really.
They should lose their tax-exempt status for that.
I have to say, this is a kind of concerning. Maryland, which just a month ago appeared poised to be the first state in the country to back gay marriage by popular vote, is now reported to be deadlocked in the issue, in part because of a drop in support from religious blacks. The change appears to be partly driven by black pastors in Maryland urging their congregations to vote against the measure. See, this particularly rankles me out here in California, where it's because of all this Mormon money that they ran all these ads that basically that was their and it was in memos that was the plan, was to try to divide blacks and gays. This is what, backers of the Maryland measure wonder how clear it will be to voters that while approval would give same-sex couples the right to marry, no religious organizations would be forced to give same-sex couples the right to marry. So that's what they're saying, is that they're hoping people understand that. Frank Schubert, it's that guy. He's the strategist who helped engineer the defeat of same-sex marriage matters in California, Maine, and North Carolina, is leading the charge in Maryland as well. That's what they do. Divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure Frank Schubert is spinning in his grave.
How about this? Voter purge in key Indiana county goes overboard. The Democratic Party chairman there began to suspect there was a problem late last week when he started getting calls from early voters who said they'd been turned away by election officials as ineligible. The county set out in 2011 to clean up its rolls. You know what that means? It means get rid of the Democratic rubbish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rubbish there. Yeah.
Rubbish?
Rubbish.
Rubbish?
Mm-hmm. The exercise was expected to involve around 800 names, many of them people who were dead, incarcerated, who had left the Indiana County about 60 miles east of Chicago. But Jones was hearing from residents who were quite alive and had voted in 2008. So, I mean, these purges are just, they're turning up more and more people that were purged wrongfully. Okay, just saying.
If you think you have a winning campaign, you don't need to resort to tactics.
Dirty tricks.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Thank you. Rich in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rich. Hello, Rich. All right, Rich.
Oh,
never mind.
I think he's putting the lotion on his skin.
Or it gets the hose again.
Yeah.
It almost seems like Paul Ryan thinks he might need a plan B of some sort.
Uh-oh.
He's spending millions to keep his congressional seat. $2 million alone in new TV, radio, and print ads. Hmm. On top of an ad that already debuted last week, another one scheduled for release right before the election. All we're saying is vote for Rob Zurban. Because then, wouldn't that be wonderful, Eddie? You wouldn't be able to go back to Congress either.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
Oh, my goodness.
I won't go! I won't go!
Dana in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dana.
Good morning. How's everybody?
Good. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good. I'm glad you're feeling better, Steph.
Thank you.
I know. I got your sickness, so.
Ew.
I know.
Yeah. Anyway, I think Sean and Rush are cranky because of that canned goods rally. All the Cracker Barrels were closed for breakfast, so they couldn't get on in over there. And as far as hearing from Brownie, saying that they acted too fast, it's called being on the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
It's called seeing the mark and acting quickly, not flying over while people are on their roofs drowning.
Yep.
I mean, it's just unbelievable.
And not dropping unneeded canned goods on their heads. Exactly.
There's good things in the garden. All kinds of canned goods. Canned goods that sort of get in the way. Like the Giant's opportunistic corn, greedy green beans, and cynical carrots. All vacuum-packed and on your grocer's shelf or nearest photo opportunity. Try the Giant's unnecessary canned goods today.
In the valley of the 40, Giant douchebag.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Let's go to Kirk in Washington. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kirk.
Good morning, Mama Moose.
Good morning.
Hey,
listen to Art make a snark attack sort of under the radar on Tom Hartman yesterday.
Oh.
And it was hilarious.
Art in Chicago?
He was going under the pseudonym of Arthur. And Tom didn't quite know what to do with the guy.
Oh, by cracky.
Because Art was arguing that the volcano Krakatoa from the 1800s proved that climate change doesn't affect us on this planet and that humans are not responsible for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tom, bless his heart, was trying to be deferential and treat an old man with respect.
Aw.
You can't treat Art with respect.
The other thing is, I'm from Washington State, as you heard, and we've got some red-hot races up here, and one of them is this newly created 1st Congressional District, and we've got a candidate named Farmer John Koster, who you probably know from the rape thing comment. And
mm-hmm.
we need to make sure that we send John back to the farm where he can practice animal husbandry, since he doesn't understand the female thing very well.
There you go. Exactly. Hey, guess what?
What?
Chris Christie's finally gotten a little love from the boss, from Bruce Springsteen.
Aww.
Bruce Springsteen, because, you know, he's apparently been knowing Casa for the governor up until now. He said, Bruce said yesterday, we're a band that you can't separate from the Jersey Shore, still basically a glorified bar band. So we're going to do this tonight from our hometown to your hometown. We'll send this out to all the people working down there, the police officers, the firemen, and also to the governor, who's done such a hard job this past week. Aww. He finally got the
And NBC is having a big benefit concert tonight.
Yeah. Right, as Springsteen is playing.
Yeah,
right?
And John Bon Jovi, Christina Aguilera is going to be playing.
Right.
And yeah, so.
Yeah.
He's going to join the president again on Monday with Jay-Z.
Right.
At their Monday night.
Rally.
And meanwhile, Mitt Romney still has Meatloaf.
And Kid Rock. Oof.
And Kid Rock.
Do we have Meatloaf?
No.
I got so many emails about dogs jumping through windows when that was on. So, no, we won't do that.
Thank you. Okay.
Unpleasant.
Thank you.
Do anything for love, but you won't do that.
Don't do that.
No. Meatloaf has gone bad.
Hey!
It started
to turn.
It's past his sell-by date.
Tom in Michigan. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Steph. I love you, darling.
Thank you, honey. I love you, too.
You overlooked Ann Romney saying, and these are her exact words, all of us need to know that we need to respect the choices that women make. Can you imagine Ann Romney as pro-choice?
Oh, she's pro-choice. Oh, thank you for that. Thank you, Ann. We appreciate your late support for women being able to make their own choices. Okay, this headline sums up everything that's wrong with America. Does Kim Kardashian have another sex tape, and is it being sold for $30 million?
I sure hope so. I've got that on me.
You said that without a beat. That was very funny.
Okay. Gene Hackman smacked a homeless man, however.
Yeah.
He had it coming?
This one might have. He and his wife were leaving a Santa Fe restaurant, and the guy called his wife the C word.
All right.
You know what?
Well,
I think.
Good. Yeah, smack a homeless guy for that. Definitely.
Yeah, you'd think someone would get smacked or get fired for that.
One would think.
Unless the person involved has absolutely no self-esteem. Okay, 45 after the hour. Right back with Kate Walsh, actress of Grey's Anatomy and Private Practice, and on the campaign trail for President Obama, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And we'll be right back.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Remember I told you guys a while ago? I was invited to a delightful dinner party at an amazingly beautiful house, and I'm like, wow, somebody has a lot of pictures of Kate Walsh in this house. Turns out it was Kate Walsh's
house. Oh, no.
Yeah, she wasn't there.
Oh.
We wrecked the joint. Hello, Kate Walsh. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. And I ran into you hiking not that long ago.
That's right.
So, and I didn't,
there's a lot of pictures of Kate Walsh.
I'm just like, wow, somebody is stalking Kate Walsh in this house.
Oh, it's Kate Walsh. I'm stalking Kate Walsh.
Well, it was no. I know your business partner, and so it was.
Yes.
It was great to finally meet you. I've been a fan forever from Private Practice, Grey's Anatomy, and I saw a picture in the house. Of course, you with Obama. I'm like, oh, well, now I love her even more.
Yeah, that's right.
So you are joining, you're introducing the president tomorrow at a campaign event in Iowa?
Yeah, I'm flying out this afternoon. We're going to go and canvass, do a bunch of canvas kickoffs in the morning, and then I get to, go introduce him tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, this is such a crucial election for so many, a myriad of reasons, but I'm just very excited. I wish Tuesday was tomorrow, but
yeah.
We have a few more days to make sure that everybody gets out and votes.
Well, that means two things. You're flying out today. That means a party at your house tonight, so I'm writing that.
That's right.
Secondly... Secondly, I didn't realize that you've always been sort of that politically involved, but you've been talking a lot about women's issues. I mean, obviously, someone who played a doctor on TV, I mean, there are a lot of real-life women's issues involved in this election, right?
Yeah, it's so crucial. I remember when I first heard, this phrase, there's a war on women, I thought, oh, that's really sort of hyperbolic, and who made that up? That seems extreme. And then, people started opening their mouths, and, the madness that sort of ensued made it pretty critical, and it does feel like, and it truly is, everything is at stake for women. Healthcare, equal pay, I mean, everything. And it feels like, I feel like I woke up into a bad dream. I was like, wait a minute, are we trying to turn back the clock decades, centuries? My mother, my mother's mother, everybody who worked so hard to get where we are, and, the president signing the Equal Pay Act, it's just all these things are at stake, the woman's choice, but healthcare, it's just ridiculous. I was in Colorado a couple weeks ago, and going around and listening and talking to women, and there's young women talking about, it was so moving to see these young women that are out there working so hard for the president to get him reelected. And one of them just got into the Colorado School of Land and Mines, and she was talking about how hard she worked to get in there, and she had to borrow money, and how devastating it would be after 5 years of school if she went out and with all of her male classmates and was paid, just two-thirds of what they would get paid. So, these are real issues, education and also student loans, but everything right. That the president's worked so hard to do to make sure that people, have access to education, to health care. This is all at stake. I mean,
Kate, in addition to all your other important work, people may not know you starred in the series that introduced the term vajayjay to the world.
Well, that is true. Yeah. I can't claim that term. That would be Shonda Rhimes.
Right.
But, I've literally joked that, but the Republicans' slogan this year should be, government small enough to fit in your vagina. I mean, this is really, like you say, it is not hyperbole, the war on women. I mean,
No, it isn't.
It's the transvaginal probes, the way Republican men speak about rape. I mean, it has gotten.
It's so beyond insulting and archaic, and it's almost unbelievable, except it is happening. And I think that we're in a, you work in the media, we're in a time where everything kind of comes and goes in 10-second sound bites, but these are real thoughts, real opinions, and real people that are saying them and that actually have the power to enact law.
Yeah.
it's that critical that people get out and vote and really vote for Barack Obama. I mean, I'm just saying it. It's not just, get out and vote. It's vote for Barack Obama if you care about your future, if you care about your body, healthcare, everything. I mean, I'm in a position where I'm lucky. I play a doctor on TV. I have an income that I can go and get some of the best health care available, but I want that for everybody. You shouldn't have to be, hit a jackpot on a television show to have access to adequate health care. You shouldn't have to be wealthy to buy an education. These are these core values of what built our country. My father was an immigrant and came here and worked like mad to make a living for our family. We struggled. We were on food stamps. We were people. I come from a family that was, that was hugely supported by, at times in my life, by the system that the Republican Party so tears apart. And I was, you know, from the most part of my life have been a member of the 47%. And, you know, I just want to keep the door open and make sure that everybody is taken care of and has access to basic human rights. That's why I'm voting for Obama.
Now that you play a doctor, do people ask you for medical advice randomly, like in the supermarket? Do you have to explain?
No one does. I must look like honestly, I must be either, something's going on, because no one ever approaches me and asks me for medical advice.
Wear scrubs.
Maybe I look really mean.
The best thing I saw online is a gynecologist, woman's in the stirrups, and the gynecologist is like, oh, I see the problem. You've got too many Republicans up there. But, you know, isn't it something for a party that's supposed to be small government? They want the government that all up in our business, literally, right?
Yeah. It's madness. And I don't think it was always this way, but for some reason things have really, really, it's not even regressed. It's just gone off on this strange tangent. It's very extreme right now, and it's very dangerous.
Fortunately, and
it's very, very real. But women do have a voice, and, you know, and there are a lot of us, and it's just hugely, hugely important that we show up, and every single female that can vote gets out there and votes.
Kate, how is it feeling being out there? Because I got to say, you know, it's funny. We, you know, the media likes a horse race story. They like the, oh, it's, you know, enthusiasm gap. And when I look at these rallies, when you look at even the pictures from Obama on the campaign trail, I mean, people, I mean, the crowds are huge, just like in 2008. The crowds are rapturous. I mean, I don't sense any enthusiasm.
No, it's massive. I think, again, with the media, I got really frustrated. I think that, you know, this is the future of our country, and it's now. We see how critical it is. We see climate change, the effects of it. It's undeniable. I mean, this storm, everything that's happening, it's so critical. And to treat this election like it is, you know, the fourth quarter of a really exciting football game is wrong.
Yeah.
This is huge. And it's, and I think everybody, you know, and that's the problem, is that we're in a culture right now that people love a good story. And it's like, well, how about beyond a good story? How about this is the truth, and what each candidate are, you know, really standing for, what they're really saying, and the issues that they really care about. And Barack Obama was handed, he was handed just a massive, massive mess that, it takes time to work through, and he's made huge, huge progress.
Yep. Absolutely.
So we just have to stay the course. We absolutely have to stay the course.
Kate, thank you. Thank you so much for your work out there, and I hope you don't mind if I drink that really good Cabernet, the one in the corner of your house. I got your house this weekend.
Oh, you're the one. Yeah. You're the one.
Love you, sister. Good luck. Thanks so much.
Love you.
Thank you so much. All right, there she goes.
Wow.
I'm going to her house now. All right, see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.